We are going to jump right into this today. I want to talk to you today about real faith. Somebody say real faith. And real faith expects things to happen. And I want to teach you today and just kind of go over real quickly what God is putting on my heart. How many know there's some verses in the Bible? How many know all the Bible you better pay attention to? But there's certain verses that we need to make sure that we're looking at and paying attention. Let me give you, for instance, one portion of the Bible, Jesus says that when the day of judgment comes, he's going to separate the goats from the sheep. How many know that might be a good verse to pay attention to? And then in that verse, after he separates it out, the Bible says, many will say to me in that day. Say many. Many. You know what? They will say, Lord, Lord. And I'll say to them, depart from me, you doers of iniquity. Now, here's my point. My point is that how many know there's people and Jesus knows the truth in your life? You can hide. You know what? You can smoke a joint. You know what? Nobody can see. You know what? How many know just because the governor makes it legal doesn't mean it's legal in God's eyes? Come on, you can say amen to this. But here's what I'm saying. I'm saying you can sneak around, but God knows what's really going on. And we got to be real with ourselves that we would make proper corrections now. Somebody say now. Because in that scripture, he says, many are going to call me Lord, but I'm going to tell them, depart from me, you doers of iniquity. How many know on Judgment Day, you don't want Jesus saying, depart from me? How many know that would be a pretty important scripture to pay attention to? Let me show you another real important scripture I want to pay attention to. It's in James. If you have your Bibles, open your Bibles to James chapter 1. If you don't, we have it right up here on the screen. And here's what James says. If anyone lacks wisdom, does anybody lack wisdom? Does anybody need help in problem solving? If that's you, raise your hand all over the room. Here's what James says. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and notice the character of God, who gives liberally without reproach. How does God give? He gives liberally without reproach. What does that mean? It means that God's not a chintzy God who says, no, I'm gonna keep some from you. That's not the character of God. It's not the character of God. And it's really important that we understand. Here's what Hebrews says. Hebrews says you must believe God is, but then it says this, you must believe that he is a rewarder. You must believe that. You must understand. God's not trying to keep stuff from you. And anyone who asks, anyone. Somebody say anyone. Yeah, but look what I've done, Pastor, in the past. It don't make any difference. Your past is the past. God has a willingness to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness if you'll simply accept Jesus in your heart. But here's the truth. To anyone who asks, he'll give you liberally without reproach. But look at this next verse. Look what he says after this. Look at this. But let him ask in faith. Somebody say, ask in faith. Ask in faith. What does ask in faith mean? Well, here it tells you. Let him ask in faith with no doubting. Wow. Did you hear that? With how much doubting? No doubting. It doesn't say you can doubt a little bit. It says with no doubting. Now, let me tell you what's going on here. God doesn't want us to doubt. Here's why. Because God has just told us he'll give it to you liberally without reproach. And when you start to doubt, you say, well, Pastor, why is God so adamant about this no doubting? Here's why. Because when you start to doubt, you're starting to question the character of God. You see what an insult that is? Remember in Remember in the Old Testament when the people are coming out and they cry out to God, they say, deliver us, help us, we're in bondage. And he delivers them out, the Bible says, with a mighty hand. And so they come out, and not only do they come out with a mighty hand. What does that mean? He sets them free, but he sets them free in a radical way, in a radical way. And he brings the plagues upon Egypt, and the Israelites see all these plagues, and he brings them out, and he says, oh, by the way, when you tell your neighbors you're leaving, you know, poke your head over the fence and say, hey, we're going to be out of here. Bye. But when you wave bye to them, say, oh, one more thing. Can we have all your gold? And can we have all your silver? How many know God delivered them with a mighty hand? It was a radical provision that God provided for them. But when they got delivered, they started to question the character of God that he would take care of them. They started to doubt that this mighty God would take care of them. And when they did that, and they did it over and over and over again, and it hurt them. Can I tell you what? Can I be honest with you? When we doubt, you are the one who's going to be hurt. And here's the thing. There's no reason to doubt God. Because the Bible says it's impossible for him to lie. The Bible says he can't lie. He's not like you and I. God is a truth teller, and he'll always tell us the truth. So for us to doubt, it just is questioning his character. Now watch this. Let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, watch this, the wave of the tree, driven to and forth. Now, here's the verse that I want you to catch. Here's the verse that I want to make sure you don't forget. Look at this next verse, verse 7. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. That is a wow. That's hey, pay attention. Because that person who's doubting, James says, I'm telling you what, don't let that man not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Wow, that's something. How many recognize? You said, but Pastor, that's me. That is me. How many have something in your life that you need changed? That you want? How many are believing for some kind of change? Raise your hand real high. Wave it at me. Say, Pastor, I am. Okay, now let me ask you this. How many of you have prayed for that very thing and you think, yes, yes, God's going to deliver me, yes. And then you think, hello? Yes, I believe by his stripes I'm healed. But you know what? The doctor said that's incurable. You know what? Yes, you know what? God is restoring my marriage. But we got in the worst fight this week we've ever been in. You know what? God is restoring my kids. But I found out my child has been drinking. And so the very thing that you've been believing for, all of a sudden, listen to me, circumstances come and they become to question whether it's really going to happen. Now, I'm asking, how many would raise your hand on that one and say, Pastor, that's me. I'm that man. Well, how many know you came at a good day? Because I want to share with you how you can start believing and not doubt anymore. How many know that would be a good thing to know? I like what my daughter told me last week. She said, Pastor, my daughter don't call me Pastor. I mean, she can, and she respects me, but she calls me Daddy. And she said, Daddy, you know what? I really appreciate the teaching last week because it was so practical. How many like practical teaching? How many like something from the Word of God you can take home and it helps you? Okay, that's today. I'm gonna teach you something that's going to help you. So today I want to talk about two things very quickly. Number one, you know what? I want us to understand why God is so insistent that we have faith. Why are you so insistent? Well, I've already told you why. Here's why. Because when we don't, we start to question the character of God. When you doubt, you're doubting that God can make it happen. Remember that the Bible says in Galatians, chapter 6, and it says this: don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Remember that passage? What is he talking about? Here's what he's talking about. I will not be mocked. I will not be mocked. Mocking is a, you're saying, yeah, I can do this, but I can get away with it. In other words, there's not a real reaping and sowing. God says, no, there is a reaping and sowing. And I won't be mocked. That whatever you sow, you're going to reap. And let me tell you why. Because I tell the truth. Here's the good news. You can count on God. And when we start to doubt, what's really happening is we're not counting on God. Remember when Peter is walking on the water? Well, let me tell you this story if you don't know this story. They're all in the boat. Not all of them. All the apostles are in the boat. Jesus is walking on water. They freak out. How many know that would freak you out a little bit? You know what I mean? See some guy walking on water. They're like, ghost. God's like, no. Jesus is like, I'm not no ghost. Okay. Then Peter says this. He says, Lord, if that's you, tell me to come to you. He says, all right, come. Peter gets out of the boat. Imagine this. Peter gets out of the boat and lets go of the side. How many know it's one thing for God to tell you something? It's another thing for you to have faith to do what he asks you to do. I'm just asking, put yourself in those shoes. Peter is obedient to get out of the boat. What's going through Peter's mind when he puts that one foot over the... Can I tell you what's going on? He's thinking, that's Jesus. He's doing it. And Jesus has told me I can do it. And I'm going to walk on the water. That's one. Now, you can say this. Amen. You can say, the other apostles aren't thinking that. What are they thinking? Well, we don't know because the Bible doesn't tell us. But how many know they're probably thinking, that guy's crazy. Hello? So he gets out of the boat. And he starts walking on the water. He sees, the Bible says, he sees the wind or the ramifications of the wind, and he sees it's blowing. When he sees the wind, he starts to doubt and he starts to sink. Now, that's the story. Watch this verse. Matthew chapter 13. Look at the 31st verse. Matthew 14:31. Look what it says. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and he caught him up and he said, oh, you of little faith. Watch this. Why do you doubt? What the heck? He's walking on the water. You know what I mean? See, and the reason I point this out to you is because, can I tell you what? We act like doubt is no big deal. We act like it's okay. Here's what the Bible says. Get rid of the leaven. A little leaven leavens the whole loaf. How much doubt does James say that you need to have? Okay. So, you know what? I was making some brownies the other day. You know what? And I got to be here. And you know what? There was all these ingredients. I put all those ingredients. But then I thought, oh, you know what? Look, there's some dog poop. And so I scooped up the dog poop, and there was just a little bit, and I put it in the mix. You know what I mean? And I have those brownies today. Would anybody like some of those brownies? Come on, somebody. Would anybody like some of your? Somebody looking at me, Pastor, that's a bad illustration. It's a good illustration because it illustrates how many want some of those brownies. You don't want none of the brownies. No brownies. Say no brownies for me today. At least not your kind of brownies. Here's my point. You know what? God says no doubting. And I use this as an illustration, as an example to you, because you'd think that Jesus would say, you know what? That's okay. At least you were better than all those other guys who didn't even get out of the boat. But Jesus is adamant about this. He says to him, look what he says. Oh, you have laid a little faith. What does he point out? Why did you doubt? See, doubt isn't okay to God because it questions his character. And God doesn't want his character questioned. He's a good God. He's a good God all the time. Let me tell you what. Yeah, but this and this and this and this is happening. Well, let's give credit to where credit's due. Jesus was very clear in John chapter 10, and he says, let me tell you what, Satan has come to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his camp. All that stuff, that's his camp. Let me tell you my camp. I came to set you free. I came that you would have life and life more abundantly. Let me make it clear. All good gifts come down from the Father of lights. God is good, and he's good all the time. That's the truth. So he says to Peter, hey, Peter, I'm not going to accept this. You can't. Why in the world? Think about it. Why in the world do you think you can, like you can walk on the water in the sun? Oh, sunny day, I can walk in the water. But man, the wind better not start blowing. Because when you walk on the water and it starts blowing, then you're going to drown. How many know this is illogical? But how many know we get illogical? We think God can do so much, but he can't do this much. You know what? He can save some people, but he can't save. He can get, and we start to get our eyes on the problem. That's what he did. He got his eyes on the problem, got his eyes off Jesus. And Jesus says, Peter, why did you doubt me? Can I tell you why God's asking that? Here's why. Because God is dependable. Peter has no reason to doubt God. And we have no reason to doubt God. We have no reason to doubt God. Yeah, but what about the situation? Listen, it's not about the situation. It's about a supernatural God. It's not about the natural. It's about the supernatural. It's not about figuring it out with our intellect. It's not about figuring out with some formula. It's about God who loves you, who's willing to do supernatural things in your life. That's what it's about. To who? To those who will ask. To those who will just say, you know what? I'll tell you what. God loves me and he's going to do it for me. That is what God appreciates. So when Peter says, hey, is that you, God? Tell me to come. What does God say to Peter? See, if anyone asks, he'll receive. God, who gives liberally without reproach. God doesn't tell Peter, oh, Peter, let me tell you what. You know, that's a bad idea. That's a bad idea, Peter. No, what's he telling him? He says, get on out here, buddy. Yeah, man, let's walk on some water. Is that cool? See, we limit what God wants to do in our life. And then we have 30 seconds an epiphany. 30 seconds of epiphany that God will go before us and make your crooked path straight, that God will do supernatural things. We have these 30 seconds of epiphany that with God all things are possible. We have 30 seconds that we recognize that, you know what, if God didn't even withhold his son, that he won't withhold any good gift from us. But what happens? Then we revert back. Yeah, but, and we do what Peter did. We get our eyes on circumstances. And God says, Peter, why did you doubt? In other words, let me tell you what he's saying. He was saying, hey, Peter, there was a time that you weren't doubting. You were doing good. That's what God wants to ask us today. And that's a good question. Because we have to let, how much doubting? We have to, you know what? Sometimes you got to get mad at stuff. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to get determined and say, I tell you what, I'm tired of being tossed to and fro. And you know what's happening in our lives as that's happening, if it's happening in your life? you don't receive the supernatural things that God has for you. Now, that's a radical statement. But we live in a time of Christianity that the Bible says men will look for people who are going to tickle their ears. How many of sometimes we just need to know the truth? That's why we teach from the Word of God. Let God be true and every man a liar. This, Pastor George, is true. Heaven and earth pass away, but this is never going to pass away. If there's anything you can depend on, it's on this. And so for us to look you straight in the eye and say, guys, God is teaching us something. When James says, don't doubt. When James says, if you doubt, don't expect to receive anything from God. That's not the time that we shake our fist and shake our finger at God and say, God, you know, I should be able to do whatever I want to do. No. We should be able to trust a God who doesn't lie to us. Amen. Amen. Yeah, but God, what about this happened? What about this? But Pastor, what about this happened? What about that happened? What about this happened? I don't know. I don't know about all that. Here's what I do know. It's impossible for God to lie. Here's what I know. To the promises that are in the Bible, here's what God says through those promises. Yea and amen. That's what he says to those promises. So all I'm saying to you, kindly and graciously, but very seriously, to say, hey, look and question your life. Don't be afraid to recognize, man, am I that guy? Because you don't have to be that guy. Can I tell you in the Bible, if God gives you a challenge, then he's not giving you a challenge saying you can't do that. With God, all things are possible. Is that not right? So, number one, understand, no doubt. Somebody say no doubt. He said, but Pastor, what do I do? Here's what you do. Read your Bible every day. I said, read your Bible every day. You know, Bob, we do this. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you one before you leave. And we don't read big portions. I mean, we can read big portions of our Bible if you want. But every day, we just read a chapter a day. And we read it together. Well, we don't read it together. We're different places. But we're all reading the same thing. And we do that. Here's why. Because faith comes through hearing. Have you ever been in a time in your life and you're just kind of, it's like you're in that kind of, I don't know. Oh, I hope so. Yes. No. Again, anybody? Okay. Let me tell you, this has happened to me time after time after time. And I feel like that man, you know, I'm allowing situations, circumstances to blow me out where I shouldn't be. And I'll open up my word and I'll read something and I'll be so encouraged. All of a sudden it's like a breath of fresh air just comes in and I think, with God all things are possible. You know what? Reading the word of God is supernatural. You know what the Word of God is? The Word of God is Jesus. Is it not? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who's it talking about? Talk about Jesus. And all of a sudden you think, man, this situation in my life, it's impossible. I've been trying, and there seems to be no situation, no way out, no way out, no way out. And you'll just read one chapter, and you'll think, there's a way out. What happened? Here's what happened. Guys, go to that scripture. Go to the scripture. It's Romans. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes through what? Hearing. Faith comes through hearing. Say, Pastor, what are you trying to get me to read my Bible every day? Absolutely. Here's why. Because let not that man expect to receive anything. See, I want to be God's man. How many want to get some stuff done in this earth? How many want to get some stuff done in your family? Well, you know what? In that, when you are like this, The Word of God, the Bible calls it your anchor, and it anchors you, and it's you know what it does in that great illustration? In that wave, you're being tossed, you're being blown all over, but that anchor will anchor you and say, this is true, and we ain't going nowhere. Does that make sense to anybody? We ain't going nowhere. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. Number one, understand, just read your Bible every day. Faith comes through hearing. Faith comes through hearing. John, this is great. John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Look at verse 39. You know this story. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him, that was Lazarus, who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days. How many know this story? No way, Jesus, you can't do that. Listen, watch this. Watch this. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Stay right here. What is this? This is the Word of God. This is the same thing that you can read every single day if you'll give yourself just 15 minutes to read a chapter a day. So all these people, they hear what Jesus says. Jesus responds. Martha's saying, no, it can't happen. And Jesus speaks and says, Martha, did I not tell you, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? What's the glory represent? Supernatural power to get something done that you couldn't normally by yourself. Watch this. Watch this next verse. Then they took away the stone. Now, what do I want you to catch? Everybody say then. When? Then. When then? After they heard Jesus speak. Somebody say, after they heard Jesus speak. After they heard Jesus speak, watch this, then they took away the stone. It'll be the same thing. How many know there was probably people when Martha said, Jesus, not a good idea. By this time, he's probably going to stink. How many know there was probably other people who thought the same thing? But look what happened. After they heard Jesus tell her that if she'd simply believe, they're going to see the glory of God, then they took away the stone. Here's what I'm saying. You might be vacillating some things. And you're going to go home and you're going to vacillate and think, oh, I don't know. Yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. How many know what that person should expect to receive? Nothing. Yes, I believe. Oh, I'm not sure. You know what I mean? Ooh, maybe, you know what? Maybe I should break up with him. Ooh, but you know what? He's got wavy hair. Listen, don't let the hair fool you, ladies. See, you know what God is saying, and I'm just saying, or all kinds of different situations where God has spoken to you, you know what's right to do. You know you shouldn't be, you know what, how many know there's stuff you know better? Could somebody raise your hand and just at least help me out? Somebody help me preach this. Can you help me preach this? And you know, but there's part of you is like, but if I, and you just want to control it, you just want to put the square peg in a round hole, you know what it has to do? It has to do with your lack of trust. Because if you break up with this guy, and after all, you're already 38 years old, you know what? Hello? Or whatever. You know, you have an opportunity. You have two opportunities to work somewhere. And one job they're going to pay you 19, one job they're going to pay you 16. And you think automatically, I'm going to take the 19. What are you doing? Do we not have a God who will speak to us and guide us and lead us? Should we not be led by the Spirit of God? Amen. I'm just asking, could the $16 an hour job not be the better job in a year and a half? Why do you say, we're going to go in this city and do that and do that? Should you not say, What is God's will? That's what James says. Why do we do this? Here's why. Because ultimately, we question the character of God. Can I tell you what? How many love yourself? Raise your hand if you love yourself. If you're not, if your hands aren't, if your hands aren't up, you're not telling the truth. Okay. We all love ourselves, to some extent. But how many know who loves you more than you? God loves you more than you, and He has good plans for you. So what do we need to do? We need to put our trust in Him. We need to rely on Him. We need to say, No. I'm going to do what God says to do. Yeah, but he stinks. That's fun, hey? All this stuff. You know what? No. We don't have time for that. How many know you're wasting time as you're arguing with God? And then even I know, Bob, I know that's none of these people out here. But how many have been derailed by your own crazy stupidity? Do I have a witness in the house? How many have been derailed by something that you thought, oh, I'm going to go this way? And you knew when you were going that. You knew that was the wrong way to go. Thank you for your honesty. We don't have time for this. You know what? But listen, and here's what I'm saying. All it takes, Jesus says, go back to the verse before, go to 40. And Jesus said, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Did I not say that? And simple, watch this, the simple words of God. Look at the correlation. Next verse. Then they took away the stone. Could it be the one thing that is stopping you from being vacillated back and forth is simply a chapter a day? That you'd allow the word of God, you're going to read it and you're going to go, oh, I don't know. Oh, man, I'm leaving that guy quickly. Amen. I need to classify this. I need to qualify this. Bob, I need to qualify this. We're not talking about anybody who's married. Shout me down when I'm preaching good. But it's that situation or a whole bunch of other situations that you know what the right thing is to do, but you question. You know what? And all I'm saying is when you start reading the Word of God, you'll have faith comes. This is a supernatural book. This isn't Harry Potter. This is a supernatural book. These are the words of God. And when you listen to them, they spring up faith in. That's what happened. When they, right after they heard the words of God. And somebody thought, I'll tell you what, Jesus is going to do this. And I'm going to help him. And I'm going to be obedient. How many would like to be one of the guys or one of the gals who rolled away that stone? And you hear this story. Oh, yeah, Lazarus got raised from the dead. Oh, yeah, Lazarus got raised from the dead. Who did that? Me and Jesus. And how many know, that would absolutely be true. How many know that would absolutely be true? Because Jesus asked for some help. And after they had heard the word of God, then they rolled away that stone. Pastor, are you saying it's that simple? I'm saying it's that simple. Now, I'm going to tell you one more story, then we're going to close, okay? How many want to hear a story? So I'm at Baldwin Park Hospital, Kaiser, Baldwin Park. I'm visiting my mother-in-law. Matter of fact, we're going to pray for my mother-in-law before we leave. And I'm at Baldwin Park, and I'm coming, and I'm thinking, man, I don't want to deal with this parking. How many of you have been Baldwin Park parking in that Kaiser? It's crazy. And I'm in the church van, and the church van, you know what? How many know the church van doesn't turn like a Toyota? You know what I mean? So I'm in the church van, and I get there, and I'm thinking, but before I get there, I'm thinking, and I start to pray. How many like to pray all the time? How many like a relationship with God that you wake up with God, but watch this, but God is in part of your life throughout the day? See, that's what God wants to be. He don't want to be in and out. He wants to be in. He wants you to be, he wants, you know what, your best, you know what, your best friend to be Jesus Christ. And so I'm going there. How many know God cares about the big things in your life? How many know God cares about the medium things in your life? But somebody shout if you know that God cares about little things in your life. Listen, amen. If it matters to you, it matters to God. Here's why. Because God cares about you. So I'm driving and I'm thinking, you know what, God, help me with the parking lot. I don't want to deal with that. Give me a good space. So I don't go in the structure because the structure, once you get in there, the under, you know, I don't want to get in there. Actually, I don't even know if I can make it in there because of the height of the van. It has the luggage rack, and I don't know. You know what I mean? So, but that wasn't the point. I didn't want to go in there. So I put it in park, and the engine's still going. And there's all these parking spaces, these good parking spaces, but they're all full. And I feel like the Holy Spirit says, I look at my watch, and I feel like the Holy Spirit says, just wait for 5 minutes. Just wait for 5 minutes. What was the next thought? See, here's what I'm saying. And people get me mad. Oh, I don't think God cares about parking spaces. You know what? They mock. Listen, I hear even you know what, people, and they mock that I have a relationship with God, that God cares about little things. Listen, don't mock me in my relationship with God. He cares about everything. And he cares about that for me, but he cares about it for you too. Don't think a parking spot is too trivial for you to pray for. Amen. So I'm sitting there, and I look at my watch. He says, just wait 5 minutes. Wait 5 minutes. Then you want the next thought in my life? It came into my head. I'm going to wait 5 minutes, and then there won't be a parking spot, and then I'll wait another 5 minutes, and there won't be a parking spot, and then I'll wait another 5 minutes, and I'd be just smarter just parking the van. I'll be quicker doing it that way. What's happening? What do I know? I know that I'm going to preach this to you tomorrow. Now, here's my point. It's ministering to me. How many know these passages challenge me just like they challenge you? And I'm being challenged, and I'm thinking, you know what? So, Pastor, what did you do? I said, let God be true and every man a liar. I cast that stupid thought out of my head. And I said, no. You know what? With all things, God is possible. God is possible. Certainly, God can take care of this situation for me. Where'd you go? I went nowhere. I stood right there. See, there's something about just doing what God says. You know what the Bible says about the lepers who came to be healed? Jesus said, go and report yourself to the priest. And the Bible said, I looked it up yesterday, it says, and as they walked, they received their healing. See, faith does something. And for me, faith needed to stay right there. I say, Pastor, what happened? Come on, you know what happened. 30 seconds later, a lady comes. 30 seconds later, a lady comes, you know what I mean? And she, boom. Right in front of me. Right in front of me. I said, thank you, Jesus. You know what? She put it in reverse. You know what I mean? And I put my single on to go in. And then some other lady in a Lexus that was no more nimble than mine thought that she was going to go around and take that spot. I was like, No. Amen. I was kind. Somebody say I was kind. How many know what I'm churching? How many know that church van helps? Amen. You know, it says, expect to be loved, expect to be changed, expect, you know, hope community. How many know that helps your Christianity? Amen. Come on, somebody. But here's my point. Actually, I was kind to her. But here's my point. My point is, you know what? That I have opportunities, and they can be, listen, and they can be a lot more significant than just a parking spot. But how many know that was significant to me and God yesterday?
You walked on water.
Well, not exactly, but see, here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. Not exactly, but listen. But understand, how many know that built my faith? Remember when Saul is questioning whether David can do it? And what does he say? Here's what he says. He said, God was with me in the lion, God was with me with the bear, and God's gonna be with me. I'm gonna take care of this Philistine. How many know that's just one story that I have added to a bunch of stories to help me not vacillate? Is God speaking to somebody? Is somebody in the room, and even this week, even this month, even sometime in this year, God has spoken to you and you vacillated? And you've thought, yes, I can. No, I can't. Yes, he can. No, we can't. I'm not sure. Oh! If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you right now, all over the room. And don't be afraid that God knows your mail. Don't be afraid that God knew before you came in what I was going to preach about. And I don't know who it is. God doesn't show me who it is. God just gives me a message that's going to be helpful. But if that's you, and my hand is up too, because I have to deal with these, but we can't tolerate doubt anymore if we're going to see the supernatural take place in our life. So I'm going to pray with you. And I want you to not just let me pray with you, but I want you to make sure you're reading at least one chapter a day, just one, and watch it all happen. Father, I thank you these hands that are up. I thank you in the name of Jesus that we will not doubt you anymore. And we repent for the times that we have. And we thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen.